Hello and good evening. I'm Michael Muhammad. I am part of the Black Opera Research Network, and I also teach at several places around the Bay Area, including down the street at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music and down the freeway at San Jose State University. The last time I was here, I was talking about Omar, which I said subverted the operatic canon. And the canon is that limited list of about 20 operas that are produced over and over again. Well, tonight I'm here to talk about Carmen, which is one of the stalwarts of the opera canon. But first thing I want us to do is actually make music together. So are you ready to participate? We're gonna just start by counting to eight at a steady pace. So just do it with me a couple times. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Perfect. Now, it's gonna get trickier. Now, we're gonna clap when we say one, four, and seven. Got it? One, four, and seven. Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Wow, look at you guys go. Now we're gonna, gets trickier. Now we're going to stomp your foot on one and five. So we're clapping and stomping on one, we're clapping on four, we're stomping on five, we're clapping on seven. Woo! So we're clapping and stomping one, clapping on four, stomping on five, clapping on seven. Oof, here we go. And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. One, two, three, four. And that's the habanera. Nowadays, when we think about the score of Carmen, we think about the infusion of rhythms from Spain, particularly from flamenco. However, the habanera, the rhythm of perhaps the most famous aria from this piece, it actually has its root not in flamenco, but in sub-Saharan Africa. One of the features of music from West Africa is polyrhythms, or multiple rhythms happening at the same time. We had the steady eight with our mouths, we had one, four, seven with our hands, we had one and five with our feet. One more time, just so we can feel it. Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, six. So there are multiple rhythms happening simultaneously there. So the rhythm of the habanera comes from Africa to the New World as part of the Black Atlantic, or the cultural connection that comes from the interaction between Europeans who enslaved Africans and traveling together to the Americas. So the rhythm develops in Cuba as the tercio, which my friend, professor, and pianist Rich Coburn calls the sexy, sexy tercio. And then the second one seems appropriate somehow. So this rhythm then returns to Europe as part of the cultural exchanges that happen between Spanish-speaking Americas and Spain, even after the loss of Cuba as a colony in 1898. But the habanera rhythm does not stop during this time. It actually continues to develop even through today. The popularity of reggaeton and electronic music starting in Panama in the 1980s shows how this infectious rhythm still permeates music today. Example one, please. So you can hear that 1-5-7 rhythm particularly happening. Then add the lugubrious melody of the habanera. The ear doesn't know quite where it starts and quite where it ends as it moves suggestively downward. This melody actually was not original to Bizet. When he was studying Spanish music, he came across this tune called El Arreglito, or The Arrangement. He thought it was a folk tune when it actually happened to be a cabaret song and ended up having to pay royalties to the composer. Whoops. At this point, I wanted to introduce a term, costumbrismo. And that was a trend in Spanish arts, particularly in the 19th century, that emphasized the depiction of everyday manners and provincial customs. After the Spanish War of Independence between 1808 and 1812, there was a growing sense of Spanish national pride. So by the 1880s, when the opera Carmen crossed the Pyrenees into Madrid and Barcelona, the Spanish intelligentsia was a little wary of foreign depictions of Spanish customs, particularly those considered afrancesado, or we might say Frenchified. In fact, when the show premiered in Madrid in a zarzuela form in Spanish translation in 1887, critics praised the musical mastery and decried the French depictions of Spanish exoticism. And I would actually argue that this is what Bizet and his librettists Henri Maillac and Ludovic Halévy were trying to do. They were using the habanera as an example. The aria and scene intensifies the sexual and racial and exotic themes of the opera. At the beginning of the action, with the soldiers passing the time to the kids, playing in the streets to the cigarette workers on their break, Bizet composes in a very French nationalistic style. The opera sets up a very ordered world created by this very French compositional music in the orchestration and the vocal lines and the dynamic flexibility. We hear this in the moments where José meets up with Micaela, a gal from his village who has come to the big city to deliver some presents and a message from his mother. The character of Micaela does not exist in the original novella, in the original source material. She's placed in the opera as a direct contrast to Carmen, and Micaela represents conventionality and piety. Next example, please. And I should mention that the excerpts are from San Francisco Opera's 2019 production with Jené Bridges as Carmen, Matthew Polanzani as Don José, and Anita Haar as Micaela, and conducted by James Geffigan. So as a contrast, Carmen's music, as well as much of the music that signifies Spain, is painted through driving rhythms and orchestral percussion. The music places Carmen as the ultimate outsider. Carmen exemplifies a life of free spirit and no limitations. That polyrhythmic pattern from Cuba becomes popular in Spain, even if it's not indigenous to Spain. It could even be argued that other parts of Carmen's music, such as the opening to Act Two and the Seguidilla, resemble the Arabic influences of music from southern Spain. Her rhythm set her body into this perpetual undulation, as opposed to José's music, which is very romantic. Let's listen to the two different ways that José tries to seduce Carmen and versus how Carmen tries to seduce José. Next excerpt, please. So that's the duet between José and Micaela, where it's very, very French. Next excerpt, please. So that was José seducing Carmen. Now let's listen to Carmen seducing José. Next excerpt, please. Quite different, eh? It's at this point that I would like to talk about another concept regarding the mystique of Spain, duende. In 1933, poet and playwright Federico García Lorca wrote a treatise on the aesthetics of duende based on folklore and popular usage. He says, quote, "Those dark sounds are the mystery, the roots that cling to the mire that we all know, that we all ignore, but from which comes the very substance of art. Dark sounds," said the man of the Spanish people, agreeing with Goethe, who, in speaking of Paganini, hit on a definition of the duende, a mysterious force that everyone feels and no philosopher has explained. Close quote. Lorca's vision of duende includes a groundedness, a diabolical irrationality, and an awareness of death. He goes on to say, quote, "Spain is at times stirred by the duende, country of ancient music and dance, where the duende squeezes out those lemons of dawn, a country of death, a country open to death. In every other country, death is an ending. It appears, and they close the curtains. Not in Spain. In Spain, they open them. A dead man in Spain is more alive when dead than anywhere else on earth." Close quote. The intertwining of culture with signified music is nowhere more apparent than with Carmen's card aria in the third act, where she sees her fate in the cards. It has the compound meter inherent to flamenco. It resembles what develops as the fandango del Huelva, a six count with the strong beats being on 1 and 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you'll hear that in that aria. Again, this is in stark contrast to the peppy four-count French quadrille music that Carmen's friends, Mercedes and Frasquita, sing when they're reading their own cards. So even amongst her Romani band, Carmen still stands out as an outsider. So with all of this musical depiction of Carmen, how do we describe her? To me, Carmen is an uncompromising yet amorous woman seeking liberation whose fate becomes entangled with a brigand officer named José, criminal smugglers, and a superstar bullfighter. Director Francesca Zambello created the production you'll see tonight based on a co-production she did for Covent Garden and the Norwegian National Opera. The production conjures up an exotic version of novelist Prosper Mérimée's original time frame, set in a period of societal and political instability in Spain. In an interview for the Covent Garden production, Zambello said, we wanted to go back and try to do the piece as faithfully as possible, of course, without losing what I call the contemporary edge to it, unquote. The character Carmen as a modern woman in the traditional setting. She subverts hierarchies and expectations. She fights against subjugation by the men in her world. However, we cannot be so naive as to not acknowledge that this opera, like many in the canon, is highly problematic. When we take out the costumbrismo and duende, what are we left with? So before I go into some tirade about toxic masculinity in opera, I just want to make it clear, I'm not here to explain anything as much as invite space for more interrogations. After the last few months we've all been through, with the amount of coverage of a modern woman with a range of intersectional identities, I think it's worth noting that people still have opinions on the matter. So why not widen some of these conversations about this? The opera Carmen portrays the murder of a woman minoritized by her gender, race, and class, whose death is enacted by a violently abusive partner. Also, José ends up being the center character of the opera, and the inquiry might be, so what? I argue that Western history is fundamentally shaped by and inseparable from patriarchy and relatedly from white supremacy. Therefore, that history forms the foundation of the stories we tell and retell. Musicologist Margaret Cormier writes, quote, "The opera canon can sometimes feel like a collection of problems, and also, I love it." Close quote. I hope that we all can acknowledge the tension that we have when we're experiencing the brilliant scores by master composers and glorious performances by tremendous performers, while at the same time watching representations of misogyny and racism and other forms of bigotry, some of the worst things the forebearers of Western art music believed about the world. The visual impact of this opera could easily be seen as a patronizing set of understood sets of people with free-spirited nomads and silk-swathed bullfighters, rather than being a location built on hierarchies that remain in place today, that discriminate on gender and race and class, where a true tragedy could happen in a way that makes sense to contemporary sensibilities. Opera creators have a responsibility to everyone who interacts with this art form, with its storied past, and it's rife with possibility. They breathe life into the work when they move away from ideas that the work are in need of care. Instead, these works can be open to recreation and to a continuity open towards its future. In this production, Zambello endeavors to give the character Carmen agency in the way she moves through the world. She gives us the opportunity to have cultural conversations around gender, sexuality, and power. It's in witnessing this turbulent world where we experience duende, the sacred presence of art, the spirit that somehow communicates information that shapes our everyday lives through aesthetic beauty and societal statements. That unnameable thing that causes us to question what we know and inflames empathy for the unknowable. So I hope you consume this production tonight with all the enjoyment possible, and I hope you walk out of here with new conversations on your lips and new polyrhythms on your hips. Thank you. Enjoy the show.